If you have your place, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to read the first five verses. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we do want to thank you tonight for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, we thank you for each one that's come out this evening. Lord, I just pray that you'd touch our hearts tonight, and Lord, give us what we need. Lord, most of all, I pray for someone here that's never been saved, that they would trust you as Savior tonight. Lord, be with Preacher and Brother Dave, their families as they're away. And Lord, I pray that you just give them a time of relaxation, and Lord, you keep them safe, bring them back to us. We thank you again for your love, for all you do for us. Help us now tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. May be seated. As I kind of looked down through this this passage, I saw some things here that I thought were pretty interesting. It might be be an encouragement to us here tonight. Beginning in verse 3 there, it says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and all the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." It says, "Your faith groweth exceedingly." Paul noticed that these folks were growing in the Lord. You know, their faith was growing. And as our faith grows, you know, we're more effective for God, and on it goes, you know. And Paul says, "Boy, you folks are a blessing over there. You folks over there at Thessalonica, and I trust folks in Ravenna as well, are a blessing." You know, they were a blessing to the Apostle Paul. And I hope that we in some way are a blessing to others that we come in contact with as well. Maybe that we could be a blessing and an encouragement to our missionaries, as Paul was the missionary back then. And we could be an encouragement and a help to others. You know, when you're strong for the Lord, you're an encouragement to others. You realize that? When you're strong for the Lord, you're an encouragement to your pastor. You're an encouragement to the people around you, the encouragement to fellow church members. When our missionaries come in, and we've had the opportunity to hear from some of them here recently, and when a missionary comes in and they see a strong church here, and they see folks that are growing in the Lord and growing in faith and in charity, they say, "Wow, that's an encouragement to them. It's a help to them." When they go back to the field, they don't worry about Bethel Baptist Church falling apart and dropping their support. They don't worry about that because they see some strength here. But now, on the other hand, they get in some churches where they see no growth in faith, where they see no charity, where they see the things are just falling in, and they get a little bit concerned. There's nobody back home backing them, it would seem. And they're out there on their own. You know, it's important that we be strong. And when we're strong, we help others. And so Paul says, "Well, I'm glad. I thank God for you. Your faith is growing exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." A strong church is a church that has love for one another. And I believe we have that here. I've seen that here. That's important. Don't lose that. We need to have charity one for another. We need to care about each other. We need to strengthen each other and enrich and help one another. Pray for one another. Brother Dave has been hitting that for I don't know. It seems a couple years he's been trying to encourage us to pray one for another. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. And oh, we need that. We need to pray for one another. I need prayer. You see, so I want you to pray for me, but you need prayer too, so you want me to pray for you, right? You see, so we pray for each other because we all need it, amen? We just do that because we love one another. Otherwise, that's really our main motivation is out of love. Well, why do we serve the Lord? Because we love him. Why do we pray for one another? Because we love each other. You see, we want to help one another. So anyway, he's patting them on the back, so to speak, for these things, their spiritual growth. But then notice he says in verse 4, so we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. They're going through some trouble. You see, there's some persecutions and some tribulations. Now, by the way, you wouldn't endure those persecutions and tribulations had verse 4 not been in effect, had there not been some spiritual growth. It'd be hard to face the tribulations. You see, but the spiritual growth and the love toward one another helps carry us through those times, through those valleys, through those tribulations, and we have to endure those sometimes. Sometimes they're difficult, but when you make it through, when you endure the tribulation, you again are an encouragement and a help to others because they see, hey, he made it, she made it, maybe I can make it. See, so we help one another, we encourage one another, we help carry one another through, even in things of that nature. We begin to help one another just by enduring those tribulations. And he says it's your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations. Patience and faith. Now those are two hard ones, aren't they? Especially the first one, you know. We don't want patience when we're in tribulation, do we? You know, get me out of this now. I you know, all right, Lord, I'll endure tonight, but I want change tomorrow. I want to be through this by tomorrow morning about sunrise. I want everything to be over. I want everything to be hunky-dory again, you know. Sometimes the Lord's intention isn't for us to get through it quite that quickly, and we have to endure for a while. And that enduring is important. You see, we endure, but we endure because of the faith we have to trust Him. You know, my Father's in control. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I've got faith. It's going to be all right. He's going to bring me through. He's going to help me. He's there for me. He cares about me. He loves me. You see. And you folks love me too. I'm going to make it. Because that love toward one another we were talking about, that charity, we're going to make it. We're going to make it through those tribulations. You see, we may suffer those. We endure those. They're not fun. You know, we make it through. Verse 5 says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. You see, it's not easy. It's suffering, it's difficult, but it says it's a token, a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. It's evidence that you're a Christian, evidence that you're doing something for the Lord when you do go through some tribulations and when you do suffer once in a while. You see, I mean, if you weren't doing anything for the Lord, if you were unsaved or a Christian that wasn't serving God at all, wasn't growing in faith, had no love for and charity for one another, you think the devil would bother you? No. You're no threat to him. You don't bother him a bit. But when he sees folks that are doing something for God, then he begins to persecute and try to slow you down, try to get you to get off track. You see, you get somebody serving God and living for the Lord. They're apt to help somebody else along the way. They're apt to encourage another discouraged brother and get them on track. They're apt to win somebody to the Lord and snatch them out of the devil's claws, you see? And so the person, the Christian, is doing something for God is a threat to the devil. And so the devil begins to bring some trouble our way, some tribulation and so on our way. And you know, the devil might be behind it. He might mastermind the whole thing. But in the whole scheme of things, the Lord takes that tribulation and uses that to make us stronger and to help us grow more in grace and help us become better Christians for the Lord. And that's something how the Lord take the things that the devil means for evil and turns it around and uses it for a blessing in our lives. If we'll just hang in there now, okay, endure, Because you don't always understand it at the time, but just trust the Lord. That faith again. You got to trust Him. He knows what He's doing. It's all gonna work out. You just keep trusting Him through the whole thing. So we go through those and they're hard. But where'd Mert go? She's probably downstairs. God leads His dear children along. Amen. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. God leads us through those trials. Her song was a blessing. I appreciated that. We all go through it, but we don't go through it alone. The Lord's there with us to help us to bring us through. Now it says it's these trials, these things that we go through, that we may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Flip over to Romans chapter 8. Leave your finger there if you would, or gospel tract, something, mark your place. But turn over to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So we got to suffer a little while. So we go through a few trials along the way. Really, when you stop and consider the whole scheme of things, what's that? What little bit we go through on earth? How can you compare that with what we're going to see in eternity? It doesn't compare. It's worth it, folks. It's worth it. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians for a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And a light affliction. You know, we look at today and say, well, Brother Black, it's not a light affliction I'm going through. It's pretty tough, really. Think about the affliction that you thought was pretty tough, say, 5 years ago. Think about it today. Was it really all that bad? It seemed so at the time, but the Lord brought you through it. Now it doesn't seem quite so major, does it? Think about it when you're looking at it from heaven. When you're looking back from eternity at the little affliction, the light affliction that you went through. Oh, it seemed bad at the time, but aren't you glad you hung in there? Aren't you glad you didn't throw in the towel when it got tough? Aren't you glad you hung in there? It was worth it. It was worth it, folks. Don't give up on the Lord. I'm telling you what we go through is just a little thing compared to eternity. It's nothing. We can handle it, folks. And again, you're not doing it alone. You're not doing it alone. Look at verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. This is kind of interesting. We're going to read a few verses here. Verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now, what Paul's saying here is, you know, when the devil's crowd would trouble you, when they would try to bring you down and try to get you from serving God and persecute you and all like that, Paul says they're going to get theirs. All right, there's going to be a day when they're going to stand before God. There's going to be a day when they'll have to look into those flaming eyes of fire and answer for what they've done and for what they've not done. And it tells me here that those who would trouble us, it says in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unsaved folks who wouldn't obey, who wouldn't trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, who wouldn't accept
the free payment for sin, the payment for the penalty of sin. They wouldn't accept the blood of Christ. They rejected him. And it says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? They're going to be punished, folks. One day they're going to stand before God and they're going to receive their due recompense of reward. They're going to receive their reward for what they did to us. I think we can make it, folks. I think we can make it. And we don't have to deal with them. The Lord's going to take care of them. You just keep faith and you just keep serving God. You see, you just keep looking toward heaven. You just keep having faith in the Lord and encourage and uplift one another. Keep loving each other. We're going to make it through this thing, folks. We're going to care for each other. We're going to help one another through it. And they're going to have their day. They're going to have their day. One day they're going to stand before God and they're going to give an account for what they did. And they're going to spend an eternity in a lake of fire. I wouldn't want to be on their side. I'd rather, quote, suffer a little persecution on this side, wouldn't you? I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. I wouldn't want that. But you know, Paul says, you know, they're going to have it. They're going to have a rough day of it someday. But I'm reminded of what Jesus did when they nailed him to the cross. He had some enemies. Took him and nailed him to a cross, pierced his side, spat on him, and our Lord prayed for him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, those that would trouble us and persecute us, they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. And if they don't change, they're going to burn in hell for eternity. And our hearts ought to break for them. You know, we can rejoice and say, yeah, you're going to get your day. But our hearts ought to break for them. Had it not been for someone, you and I would have been the same shoes that they were in. How about Paul? Paul, the writer of 2 Thessalonians here. How about the Apostle Paul? Oh, boy, did anybody ever persecute Christians more than Paul? Probably not. Oh, the grace of God was sufficient. Paul got saved. And now Paul's writing to encourage others. Boy, isn't God good? If God can turn someone like that completely around and make him a blessing. Now, I don't know about you, but somebody gives me a hard way to go, and they would want to persecute me for being a Christian. I mean, you know, really, really, folks, we don't even understand persecution. We don't. I mean, America's not what it ought to be, not what it could be. I understand all that. But we still had the freedom to park out in the public parking lot and walk into this place without any fear of being locked up for what we're doing. You know, we each one have the freedom of carrying our 1611 King James Bible with us every day. You can take it to work with you. You can take it up and down the street. Have no fear. We don't really understand persecution. But yet, if somebody slams the door in our face, we think that's persecution. We think, oh, it's so terrible what I have to go through. But folks, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to take that persecutor, that one who would want to see you stop dead in your tracks, take that person. And John had this thing to get it fixed today, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on with it. But anyway, I've been having some trouble with this microphone. But if need be, I'll stay behind this, John. We'll do what we got to do. But anyways, wouldn't it be wonderful to see those folks just changed like Paul was? I mean, the one that would try to hinder what you're doing for Christ, wouldn't it be nice to have them sitting next to you in church and singing along with you? I'd rather see that as to see them burn in hell for a reward for their evil doings, wouldn't you? Hey, look at verse 10 again. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. You see, when the Lord comes, you know, all this everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord will take place. when he's glorified in his saints and admired in all them that believe. That's all of us who believe, because Paul's testimony was believed. Paul's testimony was believed, so now there's some Christians that's going to be rejoicing when the Lord comes back, and that's when this judgment will begin to take place after that, sometime after that date. But it's because Paul's testimony was believed. Paul's testimony was believed, and now there's some Christians to rejoice and to glorify the Lord and all. You see, because Paul's testimony was believed. Because Paul's testimony was believed, I'm a Christian today. Because Paul's testimony was believed, you're a Christian today. Because somebody else's testimony was believed, I'm a Christian today. Because my dad heard the gospel, I'm a Christian today. You see? And because I gave a testimony, somebody else is a Christian today. And because I gave another testimony, somebody else is a Christian today. And somebody else, and somebody else, and somebody else. And how many folks are Christians today because of your testimony? You see, we can change folks. It's not that we have the power to change, but we can introduce them to the Lord. Oh, they might scoff at us, they might mock us for it, but we can give them the gospel, and the God's word has the power to change lives and make them a profitable individual. Amen. Change them for eternity because the testimony was believed. But you see, some folks won't believe the testimony. But I think the greater problem is some folks don't give the testimony. Let's look on. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just a moment here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. More on that same thought. Paul talking about the terror of the Lord and what's going to come on these people. Paul said here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Not knowing the terror of the Lord, we rejoice. Yeah, they're going to get theirs. But knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade men. Let's keep it in perspective. Yes, if they don't repent, one day they will receive their reward. But Paul says, oh, my heart breaks. My heart breaks for those. I'd rather see them change. Verse 10 again. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. You notice it says the Lord will be glorified in his saints and will be admired. That's us, folks. The Lord's going to be glorified in us, and we're going to admire him for all of eternity. Amen? Just think about that. You know, think about eternity to just praise the Lord. I mean, we ought to be praising him now. Amen? But think about it. All of it will have eternity just to praise and glorify the Lord and sing unto him and to bow before him and on and on. Oh, what a time. What a time that'll be. Because we believe the testimony. That's how I will have the opportunity to praise him. That's why we'll have the opportunity to glorify him, because we believe the testimony. Well, aren't you glad you believed? You know, maybe you're here today and you've never believed the testimony. The testimony is just simply this: that Jesus Christ died. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Shed his blood for us. Have eternal life. Shed his blood to pay for our sin, and then he rose from that grave. You see, that's the testimony. And you see, you and I believe the testimony, and it's changed our eternal destiny. And one day we're going to glorify the Lord. One day we're going to sing his praises for all of eternity because we believed. I hope you've believed here today. But now if we could just encourage some others to believe. We could just share the gospel with some others and encourage them to believe. Let's look on verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that
our God would count you worthy of this call and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. You see, one day we're gonna glorify him for eternity in heaven. But Paul says, we pray always for you that God would count you worthy of this call. I want to be worthy, don't you? I want to be worthy. I know in me I'm not worthy. There's no way I could be worthy to stand before God. There's no way that I could be worthy to praise him. I mean, the angels, they could praise him, and they do a good job of praising him with me. You know, that I could praise him, I'm not worthy. But Paul says, he prays that God would count us worthy. And the only way I'll ever be worthy is if God just counts me worthy, because in me is nothing that would be worthy from any stretch of the imagination. Count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 11. Count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Of his goodness. If I'm worthy, if God would count me worthy, it's because of his goodness. It's not because of me, okay? It's because of his goodness that I could be worthy. You see, says, and the work of faith. How would I have faith? It was because of him. I mean, I would. I don't have faith in everybody. There's a lot of folks I don't have faith in. You know, I've seen what they've done. They've let me down. There's some people I just don't have much faith in. I don't have much confidence in folks that I don't trust them. You know, the Lord's never given me a reason to doubt him. I can have faith in him. Now, faith, I understand, faith is kind of a mystical thing. You know, it's the evidence of things hoped for, or substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, I know faith is kind of a mystical thing in a way, but you know, faith is just simply trust. I trust him because he's never let me down, amen? I trust him because he's given me a perfect book. He's preserved it. I trust him because everything he's said in here has come to pass. And I have no reason to question him at all. So consequently, my faith keeps growing and growing and growing as I see him fulfill everything he said he'd do. So it's easy for me to have faith. It's easy for me to have faith in the Lord because he's never let me down. Some folks kind of hard. You know what I mean? But it's not hard to have faith in him. But how can I have faith in him? Because of him. Because of who he is. See, it's not me. It's not because Rob Black is some great person. Rob Black's got some tremendous faith. Wow, look at him. No. I've got faith in a tremendous God. Look at him. You see, look at him. And so the work of faith is all him. It says with power. With power. Matthew 28 and verse 18, all power. Where does it come from, folks? The Lord. Jesus said, all power is given unto me, heaven and earth. And then he gives the Great Commission. He has all power. So any power comes from him. How could I possibly be counted worthy? How could I possibly be counted worthy? Well, it's his goodness. It's a work of faith, but it's faith in him and it's God. It's power, but he's all powerful. There's no power in me, no ability in me. See what it amounts to? It's really Jesus alone who is worthy. It's really him who's worthy, but somehow or another he looks at me and says, no, Rod Black's worthy. But it's all him. It's all him. To think that he would count us. Something undeserved. Oh my, oh my. that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him. The name of Jesus Christ glorified in us. You see, you and I can bring glory to Jesus' name. Now, I look at the flesh. I look at me. I look at Rod Black. I look in the mirror and I say, how in the world could I ever glorify God? How could Rod Black bring glory to God? I don't think so. Oh, but wait a minute. Well, there's his goodness. There's faith in him. There's his power. Maybe I can. You see, I can bring glory to him in that he has done a work in me. And so consequently, because he has changed me, now I am in a position where I can glorify him, where I can draw attention to his name and glorify him. Wow, isn't it something? This is good. I mean, God changes us and makes us something that can actually glorify him. And ye in him. Think about that. Jesus would want to glorify us. Look at that. Read that again. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Okay? His name glorified in us. And ye in him. Or in other words, that we would be glorified in him. So he is glorified in us, and we are glorified in him. Isn't that an awesome thought? That the Lord would want us to be glorified. Jesus would want to glorify us. I mean, we're the ones responsible for putting him on the cross. Say, I wasn't there. Yeah, but your sin nailed him to the cross. Like that song, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered. To glorify us. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Again, that you see, when I heard the testimony, I believed. I didn't believe the first time, but thank the Lord I did believe. All right? If you're saved here today, you heard the testimony and you believe. You trusted in Christ after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After we believed, the Holy Spirit came and sealed you. That's how you know you have eternal life. That's why you know that you're not going to have to worry about losing your salvation. That's how you know that if something happens and you get away from the Lord and you sin and you do some things you shouldn't do, that you're not going to lose it because you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You have that guarantee of your salvation. But notice in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. See, that's the earnest, the down payment, so to speak. You buy a car. You go buy a car. What do you want to do? If you're sure you want the car, but you don't have all the money, you put $20 down, or give them a $50 bill or a $100 bill, and say, "Hold this, I'll be back." That's what the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said, "Rod Black, I want to save Rod Black saved, and here's the down payment for salvation. It's the earnest of our inheritance." Okay, you see, my salvation is not complete till the Lord gives me my new body. All right, my eternal soul is saved, but the body's not yet. Right, and someday I'm going to get that new body, and praise God, my eternal salvation will be complete at that time. All right, but now and notice again, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, talking about the Holy Spirit, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, you see, we are a purchased possession of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ purchased you. He purchased me with His blood on Calvary. I am a purchased possession of His. Now, I've purchased a few things along the way, and when I purchase them, I'm usually pretty proud of them. Are you? When you get something, you think you got a deal. Aren't you proud of it? Don't you want to show somebody? You want to show it off, right? Right? The Lord purchased me. In His eyes, He sees Rob Black's salvation complete. He sees it as though it was complete. All right? We have the earnest. We have the Holy Spirit to guarantee that our salvation will be completed. But he sees the whole picture. Right? He's not looking at Rod Black in the flesh that someday will be in the Spirit. He's not looking Rod Black in the flesh that someday will be glorified and justified and standing in heaven he sees it complete. And he says, He's mine. He's my possession. I'm proud of Him. And so he glorifies back to 1 Thessalonians, there, 2 Thessalonians 1:12. That the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and ye in Him. You see, that's how we are glorified. The Lord says, you're glorified in me. You're special. You know, I'm special in God's eyes. He purchased me. He purchased me with His blood. He paid more for me than I've ever paid for anything I was. Glorifies us according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, lest there be any question, it's His grace. I think I can suffer for Him a little while. I think I can put up with a little bit when I look at the whole picture. Well, we serve a tremendous God, don't we? We ought to serve Him. Maybe we say that lightly. Do we serve Him? So tremendous, Savior so tremendous who's on us, one that would love us enough to die for us, pay for our sin, and then exalt us and want to magnify us and glorify us. I think God's certain. Let's stand with heads bowed. Maybe you're here this evening and you've never believed the testimony. There's never been a time when you've asked Jesus Christ to save you. See, He wants to make you His perfect possession as well. He's already paid for you. But you're back there saying, no, 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 I'll pay my own way. Nobody's going to pay my way. I'll pay my own. I'll work. I'll be good. I'll do this. I'll do that. Personally asked Jesus Christ to save me. I don't think I'm part of His possession. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven if I died. Just lift your hand up. Let me pray for you tonight. Anyone at all like that this evening? Anyone at all? I say, Brother Black, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to pray for me. Anyone at all? I'd like to pray for you tonight. Anyone? All right, maybe you're here. Christian, you say, wow, it's just wonderful what the Lord is doing for me. What He wants to do, I mean, to allow me to glorify Him, and then He wants to glorify me, and He's bragging on me, and He's proud of me. But I haven't really lived for Him. I really need to serve Him a little better. I need to have more faith in Him. I need to love one another. I need to love the brethren like Paul was talking about. I need to serve my Lord a little more when I consider all that He's done for me. Pray for me that I can be a better Christian for my Lord. Lift up your hand. Let me pray for you. Yes. several hands going up. Anyone else
before we pray? Father in heaven, we just pray that you'll help us, Father. I know that all of us are unworthy, but you've made us worthy. I don't understand it all, but I thank you. And Lord, it makes me just want to please you a little more. It makes me want to do a little more for you, that I can really, truly glorify your name, even in the flesh. Help me, Lord. I pray you'd help us all. And Lord, if there's one here, though they didn't raise their hand, if there's one that's not saved, not sure they're saved, I pray they'd come. Let us take a Bible and show them how they can get this thing settled. In Christ's name, we pray.